The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
That's right. It's the Federal Football Report right here on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com. The Twitter handle is at FF Rep. Before we get into the amazing, the incredible, the run the ball for positive yardage, victory for the Burgundy and Gold over the LA Rams. I love saying LA Rams because I'm an old guy and I remember saying that. I'm Kevin Stanfield. Claude Jennings is on special assignment. He is not in the studio, as you can tell. He is not here. And we've done this a couple of times and, you know, it's just not the same with Claude here, but believe it or not, some things supersede the Federal Football Report. So Claude, tell America exactly where you are and what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Kevin, well, number one, it's great to be with you on a winning Sunday for the Redskins. But now, so here's the thing. So, like you said, we've done this for a few years where we'll do the Federal Football Report, and I'm on the phone. And, you know, we would say special assignment. And, yes, indeed, a special assignment. Nothing to do with football, by the way, but everything to do with personal life. Now, you said that some things supersede the Federal Football Report and football. Only a few things actually supersede that. And one of the few things is marriage, and marriage, by the way, is just making sure your wife is happy. So here's the thing. So I'm celebrating 8 years of marriage to my wonderful wife, Sierra Jennings, and you know, and so every year we pick a random city to go to, and so we've been to San Diego, we've been to Cape Cod, we've been, you know, all over the Las Vegas, all over the place, and so this year we're in Charlotte. The question is, why in the world would a football fanatic, I mean pro football, college football fanatic such as myself, why in the world would you even get married in the fall?
That is an interesting question. I hope you have an interesting answer for us, because I would not, why would you do that?
Well, Kevin, as you know, when you're involved with these women, they make you do crazy things.
That's right.
I can't even explain why in the world I would do that, because now looking back on it, and every single year during football season, we're out of town, and I have to do the show over the phone, I'm reminded, like, you must not have been thinking at all, you know? And so maybe that's just the love spell my wife put over me or whatever. But, yeah, so it's 8 years. We're in Charlotte, and so that's where we are right now. But we have always been fortunate. Last year we were in Phoenix. We've been fortunate to always find a few sports bars that have the DirecTV package, by the way. So we're able to see all the games. So we're able to see the Redskins, and we were able to see the Redskins again this year. My wife's always a great sport to get to a place where we can watch the game. She's a Redskins fan herself, and so she loves watching it. This year, she particularly enjoyed watching it. Now, in North Carolina, there's a ton of Redskins fans, by the way. This particular sports bar was full of Redskins fans. Because, I mean, you know, anywhere from, I think, the South, but mostly North Carolina, Virginia up to D.C., Maryland. They're all Redskins fans anyway before the Panthers came along. So.
Well, you know, the history of the league, even before the Falcons came into existence, the Burgundy and Gold was the team of the South, right? You know, anywhere from New Orleans east and up and down the coast, there were no other teams, right? So we had the country, and then, those interlopers from Atlanta and Charlotte came in and squeezed, you know, muscled their way in. But, you know, I'm proud of it. What we have to do is see if we can get in contact with the league office, get some inside information on where the Burgundy and Gold is going to be playing next year this time. So maybe we can get, you know, plan ahead, man. You know, just maybe take your lovely wife to the game for an anniversary, man. That'd be a lovely thing, you know.
Right. Very interesting, too, because I was looking at tickets to go to the Panthers game. They were playing the Buffalo Bills, and couldn't find any tickets that were, like, affordable. And by affordable, I mean, like, I'm willing to pay to see two teams I don't really care about. Exactly, but I noticed a few, and I know this is a Federal Football Report, we talk Burgundy and Gold, but there were a few things about the Panthers that I noticed. I don't know whether you want to do that this segment or whether you want to wait till next segment to talk about the Carolina football experience for me this year. What do you want to do?
Let's hold off, because the Burgundy Premier Go has given us quite an experience in itself this year, because as you said, we actually were able to watch the game because we were in the same room, but we were together, right? It was that Burgundy and Gold bond, that bond that holds us all together, right? And we were able to witness it was not the return of the Golden Boy, because we went to Sean McVay's house, and fortunately, and I am so happy we put a spanking on little Sean McVay, because I am so tired of him like being the chosen one, the wonderkind, you know, these little Sean McVays, the head coach, he's coming back, the teacher and the student, and all. I'm sick of it. I was so sick. And I said, look, I don't care what you do, cheat, whatever, we got to beat Sean McVay. We cannot go through a year having Sean McVay best us, right? So fortunately, we came out on top 27-20. And Claude tweeted early in the game, tweeted, text, all that, you know, social media thing, and he said something profound. He said, it's amazing that they must have listened to us because they were actually running the football. And, you know, it was an amazing thing, because I tweeted at FF Rep before the game, there's two things I don't want to see happen. Number one, we win the coin toss and defer, which is exactly what happened, right? And then I said, okay, I might be able to live with that, but if we go play action pass on the first play from scrimmage, it's all over with. That's what happened last week. And we actually ran the ball. They gave the ball to Fat Rob on the first play of scrimmage, busted the game 5 yards.
Right. Well, it was clear. Look, so they had a commitment to the run early in the game, which, again, like I said on Twitter and like you properly mentioned, they clearly listened to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com.
That's right.
And you're right, and they should, because this is – so they clearly said we've got to establish the run. So there was a good run balance early, which is exactly, you know, what the Redskins needed. Now, when you talk about this whole Sean McVay thing just a couple comments ago, the funny thing is that, yeah, you know, Sean McVay, you know, I was hearing all week about how the players loved him. They thought he was a great offensive mind, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the thing. All that can be true, but he's the head coach of the Rams.
Right.
And so as the head coach of the Rams, they should not be the Redskins. And so all I wanted to see from the Redskins in this game was I want to see you be the Redskins playing the Rams. You know, at the end of the day, they are the Rams. And that's exactly what happened. But like you said, a commitment to the run. And that's what we needed to see last week, and I'm glad we saw it this week. I'm just trying to figure out what has taken this team so long. I'm hoping that they keep this same momentum, because, and we'll talk about this maybe a little bit later, but in the third quarter, I was a little bit worried, thinking that the Redskins were thinking that they were going, that the Redskins were thinking about abandoning the run, and which they kind of did in the third quarter, but the Rams bailed them out being the Rams.
Well, they sort of abandoned it early in the game, because after they scored on their after Fat Rob was running up and down the field, when they get inside the 10, all of a sudden they start throwing the fade patterns again, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he overthrew Chris Thompson a couple of times. It was like, and they had to settle for a field goal in that first drive. But it's like sometimes they want to outsmart themselves, man. And it's no secret, man. It's all about physical intimidation. I heard Hall of Fame guard Russ Grimm said, there's nothing better than to take your opponent and physically impose your will upon him, make him go in the direction that you wanted him to go, and that's what it is, right? It's a mindset, and it's not just like we like them to call running plays. We want them to develop the mindset that we are imposing our will upon the opposition, and that's what's missing, right? It's too much sleight of hand and trickery. It's not so much it's not the play calling itself. It's the execution. It's not, well, these guys got to feel like they can beat their man. They got to feel like, as we have said for years in this show, if you need a yard and you get paid millions of dollars to give me a yard, give me a yard. I don't see no shotgun. I don't see no misdirection. Give me a yard. And that's what running game is all about.
Right, and you know, and you're 100% right, but especially when, again, if look, everyone's a grown man playing this game, right? And if you're the Redskins, you know that despite the loss in week one and the Rams win in week one, that you're a better team than the Rams. And you should be able to line up, tell the Rams exactly what play is coming up, where you're going to run it to, or where you're going to throw it, and still be able to beat them. Now, I understand the Rams, look, they've got got a pretty good defense. I think maybe perhaps a little overrated, but they've got a good defense. But still, they're the Rams, and they're the Rams for a reason. And I think that the Redskins, despite some late attempts to try to keep the Rams in this game, and that's the one thing that concerned me, and we'll talk about that perhaps a little bit later, that the Redskins, I'm not sure whether it was the Redskins proving they were better than the Rams or the Rams being the Rams that actually got the Redskins to win today. But like you said, if you can't line up and get me a yard when you need a yard, you're not a professional. And the Redskins at least were committed to the run slightly. I wanted to see them run the ball more. I mean, Rob Kelly, 12 carries for 78 yards. I'm not sure what happened as far as why they stopped running the ball. I mean, I understand that it seemed like he got hurt a little bit in the second quarter. Maybe that was in the third quarter. Chris Thompson, 3 carries for 77 yards. But 15 carries, a little bit better than the 13 they gave last year. I wish they would have ran the ball more.
Yeah, well, Fat Rob turns out suffered a rib injury in the second quarter, because he had in two quarters he had like 78 yards right in two quarters, and I said, this looks like this is going to be okay, this might be record setting, and then they pull that nonsense inside the 10, but the majority of the runs were between the tackles as well. And like I said, I thought whether they looked at the Rams and the Rams are who they thought they were. And, you know, because Aaron Donald, who was coming back from injury, he was supposed to be the beast in the middle. He had one tackle today. I don't maybe, what? You know, he was active, his hands, you know, he almost hit a lot of passes and stuff. But, you know, it's like you got to develop the mindset you just don't care. You know, whoever the opponent is, like you said, they're going up against the Golden Boy this week. That's fine. But for a minute there, it looked like they were holding a scrimmage, you know, amongst themselves. Both teams looked identical. It's like, you know, whoever has the ball last might win, maybe, unless they do something stupid. There was no confidence. There was no no attitude, no swagger. But mm-hmm. but slowly but surely, the defense is starting to come around. They're giving up way too much yardage. But the attitude is starting to come around a little bit.
Yeah, well, let me correct something real quick. Samaje Perine, by the way, had 21 carries. And so I was basically reading the carries between Rob Kelly and Chris Thompson. But Perine had 21 carries for 67 yards. And so, I mean, when you add all that up, you're looking at 36 carries if you don't count Kirk Cousins. That's what you're talking about right there. Like, that's what Redskins football is.
Right. And you, like I said, you impose that will against your opponent, they're going to get tired. You're wearing them down. You're dictating the course of the game. And it showed in the end of the game when they had to drive downfield, to score to win the game. They were tied up. The Rams came down and tied it. And majority of those plays were running plays. So that's what it's all about. That's what we've been harping on for the past, 3 years around here, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's about time that the team caught on to what we've been talking about.
It's about time. Years. Just like they caught on to the Dez Bryant commercial we mentioned last week, but let's talk about that later.
Right. Yeah. You text me. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. You know, one thing that I thought was also important, too, but I think it's correlated to the run because you can do this a lot off play action, was the seemingly concerted effort to get Jordan Reed involved early. He had 6 catches for 48 yards, and he actually, I think it was the third quarter, seemed to be bothered by an injury as well. Jameson Crowder had a pretty big day. And by big day, I don't mean like big day in numbers. Like, he didn't have 8 or 10 catches for over 100 yards. He had 4 catches, but he had 4 catches in really important moments for 47 yards, and those were really important 47 yards.
3 of his 4 catches were for first downs. Yeah.
Exactly. And so he had really important catches and really important moments. And again, it begs the questions, you know, you're talking about Dotson, you're talking about Pryor, you know, where are these guys? And Pryor, by the way, I love Terrell Pryor, loved him when he was in Ohio State. We have to remember that he was a quarterback for most of his life, and he's a converted quarterback to wide receiver. Again, is it worth letting Deshaun Jackson and Pierre Garçon walk for Terrell Pryor? I think week after week, we see that it is not.
No way is it. And anyone who tells you it was, they are, you know, I'll be slapped for trying to mislead you like that. You know, I guess that's what bothers me about that whole situation. Anyone who knows anything about football looked at what what D-Jax brought to the table and what Pierre Garçon brought to the table. And the beneficiaries of those guys being on the outside were Jamison Crowder and Jordan Reed and Chris Thompson, because they just opened the field up. You had to account for these guys, and that took some of your defense away, and they left plays wide open. So, and I think what disturbs me about this team, even after a win, I can say this, is I think that we're being sold a bill of goods as to what causes success. Is it the brilliant design of the play, so brilliant that it got the Golden Boy Sean McVay head coaching job? Or was it the talent that's executing it? And they got to at least admit it's 50-50. I mean, you know, for us to be successful, it has to be 50-50. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com, and hit us up on Twitter at FFrep. Now, Clark, I got to ask you this. Were you, I don't know, at the place that you were watching the game, if you could hear the announcers, but you saw the fake punt.
Yes, I did. So to answer both questions, at the establishment we were watching the game, I could not hear the announcers. And yes, I did see the fake punt.
Okay, well, earlier in the game, they lined up in some kind of weird formation during the punt, and then they just broke out and eventually punted the ball. During that time, the announcer, I don't know, I know it was Chris Spielman doing the color, but I'm not sure who the play-by-play man was.
He said, by the way, Chris Spielman just had an odd look, didn't he? I mean, the green tie was weird, and then the Terminator like sunglasses. I mean, while my wife looked at him and said, why is he wearing those Terminator sunglasses? I mean,
L.A., baby,
what
L.A.
Chris, what's he doing? Anyway,
middle linebacker, one too many headshots. anyway, the announcer said, the play-by-play man said, hey, and, you know, the Rams have a punter that has a heck of an arm now. We'll be surprised to see him throw one out there, but now they're going to punt. He said this. he said, and I'm wondering, the announcer, I mean, he does his homework. He studies the film and all this. But if he knows it, how come the Berkeley and Gold, how come they're not doing as much homework as the announcer? That could have been, it was a short catch and run, 21 yards. It could have been a turning point. Fortunately, they're the Rams. But this is what I mean by preparation. Yeah, I'm happy that we won. But if we're going to be successful at this, we've got to get better in a lot of things. A lot of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And see, this is the thing. This is where, if you listen to the show, you would assume that the Redskins lost. But they did not. They did not lose. They won. They beat the Rams, but they did not beat the Rams, I don't think, the way that Kevin or myself would assume that the Redskins team should have beaten the Rams.
Right.
And so it's very easy, like we talked about last week, you know, to take a loss and overreact about it. It's also very possible to take an early win and overreact with that. And we don't want to overreact as if this win means that everything is right, we're right on course, Super Bowl bound. We want the fans who listen to the Federal Football Report to take everything into consideration, to look at the game circumspectly, and like really analyze what's happened. And while it was a win, and a win is a win, but when you get wins that are just "quote unquote," win is a win. Those don't equal 10-9 or 11 per season. That usually gets you to 6. And so we want to be able to look at it, you know, soberly.
Hey, well, yeah, be sober now, because there's going to be an awakening next week, because beast mode's coming to town, right?
Right.
Yeah, because the Raiders will be here next Sunday night. It's a game which I will be attending, because I figure that's the only way to impose my will upon them is to get within their presence and just yell down, run the ball, right? You know, because, you know, here's the thing. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Not only did we win today, and I say we because I figured I had something to do with it, we're in first place in the NFC East.
Right. Actually have a special question regarding that in our segment next, in our featured segment in the second part of this show, Fake News or Not.
Oh, good. I'm waiting for that.
But more on that later.
Yeah, that apparently was a big hit last week, the
right,
fake news or not. I guess we got all kinds of tweets at FFRef about the fake news or not. Yeah, you know, it's a win, and let's look at it as a building block. The positive things I saw, the willingness to run, the attitude too, of the runners, like getting yards after contact, which that was one of Fat Rob's, is one of Fat Rob's strengths, right?
Right.
Yards after contact, right? And because he turned maybe a 1 yard loss into a 3 yard gain. And then some of the run, they even had the nerve to run the counter tray a couple of times, right? And I said, yes, yes, use what works, right? And,
right.
And it's no, if you know, my math, if we go back to it, if Rob is averaging 3.8 yards per carry, if you give him the ball four times, that's like 14 yards, right? You
know, absolutely. And one of the more interesting things, too, when I looked at the running game, like you said, the attitudes, is that, I mean, I'm looking at Chris Thompson. I'm like, I understand with him being a smaller guy and you want him to be a change of pace back, it might be worth taking a look at getting him the ball earlier and getting him the ball more, because things happen when he touches the ball.
That's right. That's right. You just give him the ball and let him go to work. He's your playmaker. Plus, and we talked about Terrell Pryor. Yeah, people dog him. He dropped some passes. He hasn't gotten to the floor yet. You got a big guy downfield blocking on little defensive backs, right? And that does nothing but help you run games. So yeah, there are just so many positives, and I'm really happy because they actually listen to us, and it's just a matter of it becoming a philosophy, a way of life. We want the league to know, oh man, we playing the burgundy and gold. They're gonna try to run. It's gonna be physical. It's gonna be smash mouth. We, you know, so don't let them off the hook. You know,
right?
They expect to. Pain, we bring the pain, because that's what we do. That's, you've been asking about the personality of this team for years. There it is, if they accept it. If they accept
right.
it, this is our
exactly.
personality. Look out, Giants. Look out, Cowboys and Eagles. We made a mistake the first time. Look out. So we're coming back. And this is it. This is the NFC East. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Absolutely. You know, none of the finesse stuff. This is ground and pound. This is play action pass. This is set up the deep pass based on the run. And, you know, and when you see a team being successful, like you said, with that philosophy, one can only wonder why in the world would you deviate from it? And, like, you know, what's so interesting is that there's very few things more pathetic than an individual's appetite or tendency to self-destruct. And so that there are things that work, or things that even keep you in game, things that help you build rhythm, and you just watch your team self-destruct when you know that the team can do a little better. Speaking of self-destructing, by the way, I mean, Dustin Hopkins making things a little interesting, missing, you know, field goals, you know, you can't have that happening either. But, by the way, I know I just talked about how you can't tip your hat or put money in the bank on a win as a win, but at the same time, you got a W at the start of the season. One and one, no matter how you get there, is much better than
first place.
Two.
First place.
Well, exactly. And so that seems to be, I mean, at best, if the Giants win against the Lions on Monday Night Football, everybody in the NFC East will be 1-1. And, you know, and that's not bad after 2 weeks. After what we saw last week against the Eagles.
Hey, before we go to break, I do want to mention the game clincher was the touchdown pass, Captain Kirk to Ryan Grant.
And his only catch of the day, by the way.
Oh yeah. But you know, not you know, I listen. You know, us being the media moguls that we are, right? You know, I listen to a lot of sports radio, and you know, Burgundy and Gold reigns supreme around here. We got you know, we got the White House, we got the Congress, right? We got everything around here, but Burgundy and Gold reigns supreme, right? You know,
right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Grant gets dogged in this area for some reason, and all he's ever done was just come to work and do his job, right? He never gets in any trouble. You don't read him with political tweets or anything like that. He's not a gang member like they claim Deshaun Jackson was. None of that. But they just the media, which we are part of it, and I'll say, yeah, we, the media, except for me and you, of course, because we tell the truth, they've been dogging Ryan Grant, so I'm very, very, very happy that he caught the winning touchdown pass. You know, it's like...
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting you say that. I mean, Ryan Grant can't get a pass here in the city, but, you know, they're just now talking about the fact that Dotson can't get on the field. It's like, you know, Ryan Grant shows up, does his job. He catches a touchdown for today, the touchdown that clinches it. But you want to give Dotson the benefit of the doubt, and he hasn't stepped on the field yet in a year and some change.
Now, you know, we need to find out. We hear the reports that say Dotson is limited in practice. He's limited. I want to know who's doing the limiting. Is Right. Is he limiting himself? You know, because I'm going to give you a basketball analogy. You know, I love Georgetown basketball. I love the Wizards, right? Otto Porter Jr., for a while here, could not buy floor time. He could not get when Randy Whitman was the coach here, Otto Porter got hurt early in his rookie year and just could not get back. You know, he was a brunt of many jokes around here. Just could not get on the floor. Many. But when, due to injury, or when Paul Pierce got hurt in the playoffs a couple of years back and they were forced to play Otto, he showed that he was above average NBA talent when given the opportunity. And fairly, what happens so long is once a coach has an impression of you, that's it. Remember, that is it. Remember back in the old days when I'm drawing the blank. The coach of the Giants called Irving Fryer. Bill Parcells. He called the
Terry Glenn.
Yeah, called him She. Right?
Yeah, you know, Terry Glenn She.
Right, right. He helped take him to the Super Bowl, but that's what he was in Bill Parcells' mindset. So this is something's happening here with Dotson. You know,
By the way, could you imagine if Bill Parcells said that today?
Oh no,
time?
No.
Oh goodness,
he could not say that. He could not say it wouldn't happen. I don't know
what's anything wrong with
this. This is football, and that won't happen, right? You know. Anyway, we've gone way, way over time because, you know, Claude is away, and, you know, he's excited because this is his anniversary. As well, he should be. And this is the Federal. We're going right back after this break. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com. Kevin Stanfield along with the remote Claude Jennings. After the spectacular Burgundy and Gold 27-20 victory over the Rams. Claude, I had to go that way because I was a little bit downer in the first game. I was being too much of an analytical analyst, right?
Let's not put this. I mean, we are happy about the win.
Oh, yeah.
We're not down.
I'm going cheerleader this time.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a little bit cheerleader in me, right? Hip, hip, hooray. Three cheers for the Burgundy and Gold. They're the colors that never grow. Okay, anyway. All right, now, wait a minute, I got it. You know what? I don't have the opening ready, man. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be a professional, football radio guy. But Claude invented the segment last week, ladies and gentlemen, and it just
very big hit, by the way.
It was a huge hit. It was so big. People, I mean, they started talking about that before they talked to the show. So we're coming back, ladies and gentlemen, right now.
It's time for fake news or not.
That's right. It's time for, we should open the show with that, fake news or not, on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com. So Claude, what you got for us?
Absolutely. So fake news or not, I give Kevin three statements. He lets me know whether it's fake news or whether it's not, whether it's actual news. And so the first statement, Kevin, is after today's 27-20 win over the Rams, the Redskins are back on the right track. Fake news or not?
That is a tough one. That is a tough one. You know, cause I can go by my heart or I can go by that, our experience as analysts, right? I'm going to say that is not fake news. I'm going to say that they're on the right track because I think, I'm thinking because after the experiences we've had in this town and everything that we've seen so far and the success they had with the ground and pound attack today, I think Jay Gruden is going to say, you know, what? I think that this is the way to go. I think we found our personality. We're going to play some smash. Remember when Joe Gibbs used to say Redskins football all the time? Everybody knew what he was talking about. And it took a certain, there's a pride in that, right? You know, we want that personality. We want to be the blue collar, lunch pail type guys. We're not the best team. We're not the most talented team. We're going to need all you fans out there. So yes, I'm going to say that's not fake news. We're on the way. We're right where we're supposed to be.
Okay, so
I got to convince myself of that, right? Yeah.
Right. Were you making a statement, or were you trying to convince yourself of something?
A little of both.
A little bit of both.
That's right.
The Redskins are back on the right track. That is not fake news. Statement number two: at best, if the Giants win, every team in the NFC East will be 1-1. The Redskins have the NFC East right where they want them, and everyone at 1-1, the Redskins are in prime position to win the NFC East. Fake news or not?
Now, that's fake news. I'm sorry. That's fake news because they just so happened there was a quirk in the schedule where they caught a division opponent early in the Eagles, and then they caught the AFC West after that because they're playing the Raiders, and right after the Raiders, the Chiefs, both of which right now are 2-0, by the way. Now, you know, when it comes down to the tiebreakers, it goes division opponent, then conference opponent, and then out-of-conference opponent. So, actually, in the grand scheme of things, the games against the Raiders and the Chiefs could be meaningless. Could be meaningless, right? So, but still, you need these numbers. You need these numbers, you know, just for total wins. And you need to build some confidence up. This week, got a new defensive coordinator. By the way, speaking of defense, you know that the defensive coordinator that we had, in Washington is now with the Rams, you know, Joe Barry. And you did know that.
Seems to be the thing. I mean, if you leave the Redskins as a coach, you're either going to the Rams or you're going to the 49ers.
And you know they just ran through, like they ran through Joe Barry defense like it was a Fast and Furious movie, right? You know, I was a cheerleader, yeah, everybody went in first place, yeah, but no, this thing is a long way from over. They got to just build. They haven't arrived yet. They have to build on this thing. They have to say, okay, this is where we are, and we got to build. We got to get a lot better. This team has to get a lot better. I mean, they were in a competitive game against the Rams in the fourth quarter, came down to the 2-minute mark. Yeah, we got to get a lot better than that, man. So, you know, I speak truth, Redskins fans. You know, hey, I'm not a traitor. I speak truth. That's fake news. We got to get real with this.
Well, there you go. And that leads me to this third fake news or not statement. You led me perfectly to it. This win over the Rams, 27-20, to get to 1-1 on the season, had more to do with the Redskins being good and not as much to do with the Rams being bad.
Oh, that's fake news. That's fake. I'm sorry. I should have waited for you to ask me that. That's fake news right there. At times, like I said earlier, man, it looks like a mirror. It's like you could have taken the uniforms and swapped guys. They both were just incompetent. It was just like, and you know, it made it so bad, right? We watched a lot of football, right? I watched, like, if you watch, go back and watch the opening game with New England and the Chiefs, right? What the Chiefs and the Eagles this morning? I mean, yeah, earlier today, very competitive game. When it came down to crunch time, there was precision, there was execution, right? On both teams' part, it went down to a Hail Mary. After you thought the Chiefs had the game in the bag, the Eagles pulled off a perfect, picture-perfect onside kick. And those are two teams that, like, think that they could win it all. We haven't developed that yet. We haven't developed that yet. So, yeah, but you know what? You need that. You need to beat bad teams.
Right,
you
exactly.
need to beat bad teams. So, we can't puff our chests out yet. We got to thank the Rams for being bad. You know,
right,
thank
exactly.
you, Rams.
Yeah. Whether you're good or you're a contender in your own division or not, you need to beat bad teams.
That's right.
So the good takeaways from today is that they beat a bad Rams team. And like I said, thank you, Rams. By the way, did you notice how empty the stadium was?
Oh, you know what? I love the L.A. Coliseum. I just, you know, because it harkens me back to my early days of loving football, of watching Roman Gabriel, of what, you know, the fearsome foursome, right? Yeah, I'm that old. I remember that. But you know, they are in L.A. There's other stuff to do in L.A., right? You know, people who haven't grown up with that love of football. And plus, you know, if you got a nice big 70-inch TV, right, you know, over here in Malibu, you kick back, you know, there's no game experience in L.A. yet. But I'm sure that when they build their new stadium, it's going to be an L.A. experience, right? But yeah, it was kind of pathetic, but still, some of those shots, man, like when they were, like, you know, shooting from the goal line to the other goal line, we saw the open end of the stadium, man.
Right.
It was beautiful, man. I just missed it so much.
And I didn't even notice it, but my wife was just sitting there watching. She's like, no one's at this game. And you bring up a great point. I mean, you know, when you're in Los Angeles, there's other things to do than to spend 4 hours watching your team get beat. And so, I mean, if you want someone to perform, if you you want people to come, number one, you got to put something on the field worthy of their attendance. But then, you know, number two, it's got to be some kind of social event. I mean, folks go to the Lakers game because, you know, people are there. It's a social event. You know, no one goes there pretty much to watch the sport. They support the team, but the team is pretty much secondary.
Yeah. And, you know, the Coliseum was built in like the 1930s for the Olympics, right? It holds over 100,000, right? You know, so, yeah, it's just not going to happen. And plus, you know, through some quirk of fate, the Chargers have moved to L.A. too. So they went from no teams in 2 years to have two teams.
And so now you got to figure out which team you want to get. If you want to go and support. But that's
weird.
This edition of Fake News or not. Thank you, Kevin, for your participation.
Anytime. It's the Federal Football Report right here on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com. I forgot to mention that the frequency is 1500 AM. I like saying that because AM radio is the way to go because that's the way I grew up listening to football. But I digress. Now, Claude, I'm looking forward to hearing some of your adventures down there in Panther Country because, you know, we're only a season removed from the Super Bowl appearance where, you know, they just ran into a buzzsaw that was the Broncos defense. But what was it like watching the Burgundy and Gold in Carolina? And what was it like? What was the Panthers game day experience like in Charlotte?
Well, very interesting because, I mean, you know, we got down here and we're staying so close to downtown. I mean, we can see the stadium. The stadium's right off the major highway. I think it's 77. And so, I mean, when you're driving down 77, it's like a great picture of the stadium, you know, while we're in the car. Now, mind you, my wife took the picture. I was driving.
Oh,
we were responsible drivers.
Thank you.
And so she took the picture. Great picture of the stadium. It's right there. A few things kind of shocked me. Number one, it didn't seem as if for the home opener that the stadium was crowded just from television. I mean, we didn't go to the game because the tickets, like I said, were just too costly for me to go see two teams that I didn't care about. They were playing the Bills. Now, the night before, we were kind of out in the town of downtown Charlotte. A lot of Bills fans came to town for this game. Everywhere we saw, you know, folks wearing Bills T-shirts, Bills hats,
really?
And things like that.
Well,
so that was kind of cool.
Let me interrupt you for a second. I know for a fact that Charlotte is a very transient city. Charlotte was a city that was they built up for business. So a majority of the people who actually live in the Charlotte area are not from North Carolina. They're from other areas who came in for business. Like I believe the headquarters for Bank of America might be in Charlotte.
There's a lot of
that type thing going on in Charlotte. Much like,
maybe a quarter of them came from Buffalo then. They were of Buffalo fans. And so we found that interesting. Now, when we did go downtown near the stadium on Sunday during the game. We did not leave during the time that I would imagine there'd be a lot of game traffic or parking traffic for the game. The game started at 1. We went towards downtown around 1:30 just to not sit in traffic. But when we got downtown, number one, there wasn't a lot of traffic. And then with number two, all the lots that were designated for parking for the game, they weren't full. They weren't full at all. Plenty of spaces around, and even in some of the lots for a little further in downtown, but walking distance to the stadium, super empty and inexpensive. We're talking $20, $10. I saw one lot super close to the stadium that was $44 when just two blocks or three blocks away you can find parking for $10. And so that was very interesting. And then suddenly, we were in the museum, and we were walking out the museum. It must have been close to 3 o'clock, and there were just people with Panthers jerseys walking the streets back to the cars and stuff. And I'm thinking, the game can't be over this soon. It's a 6-0 game. They're over Buffalo. They're winning. And 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and people are just leaving. And I'm like, wait a minute. What is happening here? Panthers fans have a lot of explaining to do to me. I don't understand no one going to the game. It was the home opener for the season, and I don't understand people leaving the game. So I talked to a Charlotte police officer who was directing traffic. He said that they normally hit the streets at 3 o'clock to start with traffic, just in case people leave early. That's just their procedure and their protocol. That the police officers are there, but then he said that people do leave early. Now, oddly enough, this police officer Spencer was from Buffalo. I didn't ask him what he was doing in Charlotte, but I said, so your boys are in town. And he said, yeah, but he said that's pretty normal, that folks kind of leave early. If it's a super close game or super important, people will stay, kind of fair weather like. So the Panthers fans just have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I do know, like I said, the fact that so many people are not from there, and there hasn't been like a generational thing yet. You figure how long the team been there? 15 years, whatever. But it's not enough time for. I mean, the kids who were taken there by their parents haven't quite gotten old enough to have kids there that they can take and reminisce and share that, right? It's more of a thing to do. I mean, it's like, you know, then again, what else is there to do in Charlotte besides you got the Hornets and the Panthers? I mean, you know what? It should be the center of their social activity, but they're, you know, besides being fancy, it's still a little country town, you know. Charlotte's still in North Carolina, right? So I'm a little surprised to hear that, because I thought that they were on the verge of, especially because of Cam and the relationship that he had built with the fans, like you know, with the thing with giving the kids the football and all that. Although they only scored 3 field goals today, none of the kids would have got nothing today, right? But man, we got to think of somewhere more exciting for you to go next time. Let's see now, maybe New England next year or something. Well, you know, it won't be cold in New England, right? But it's got to be an exciting place that you can spend your anniversary next year. Something a little bit more dramatic. You know, maybe Las Vegas will have a team by then.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we went to Vegas a few years ago. We had already went to, we didn't go to Boston, but we went to Cape Cod. So maybe what we'll do, maybe we'll go to Seattle.
Yeah,
what's happening in Dallas or something.
You can scrape the bottom of the barrel. Scrape the bottom of the barrel and go to Jerry World, man. Why not? We can do better than that for your lovely bride. We can do better.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, this is Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and the federalnewsradio.com. Second show of the year. The second show, a victory show with the Burgundy and Gold defeating the hapless L.A. Rams by the score of 27-20. Now, we got more show coming up right after this. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Kevin Stanfield. He is the remote Claude Jennings, and we've pretty much exhausted the wonderful aspect of the 27-20 victory over the Rams. But now it's time for reality. I know the players will come in, I believe, tomorrow and look at the film, and then I believe they get a day off. But we're not going to give them a day off, because we're going to let them know right now that their opponent are the L.A. Raiders, right? You know, that's the way it was for so long. Because it was so long after they moved from Oakland to L.A. that I could call them the L.A. Raiders. It just didn't sound right. But now we're talking about the old days, the Al Davis days, the Just Win Baby days, right? Commitment to excellence, right? The Oakland Raiders are 2-0 on the heels of a 45-20, I believe it was. Yes, 45-20 victory over the hapless, the truly hapless New York Jets. Now we are saying that our defense is improved from last year. They're going to have to be, and this is going to be a true test, because today Derek Carr, outstanding young quarterback for the Raiders, went 23 of 28 for 230 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know, that I don't, you know, that's not bad, actually, right?
And
That's not bad. And I don't believe, and all the stats aren't here. I'm looking on NFL.com for some reason, they're not showing me all the stats. But I do know that Beast Mode is with the Raiders. And he had a pretty good game today. As a matter of fact, they showed him, it was making the rounds, him dancing on the sideline. I don't remember ever seeing that before, right?
Well, basically, for most of the second half, he was basically a cheerleader on the sidelines dancing the rest of the game, because he didn't have to play. What's interesting, Derek Carr threw those 3 touchdowns. Those 3 touchdowns came to Michael Crabtree, and he's probably not even the best receiver on the team. I think Amari Cooper would like to make a statement about who the best receiver on that team team is. And then that also goes with three rushing touchdowns. Marshawn Lynch did have one of those rushing touchdowns, 12 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown by Marshawn Lynch. What's interesting, too, about the Raiders, we mentioned it earlier about how we're trying to bring a dose of reality to this fine, high-quality radio show about the Burgundy and Gold. We talked about being the Rams, a team that you're supposed to beat, and how this win may be more about the Rams being bad than the Redskins being good, because they're such a bad team, you're supposed to beat them. The Raiders beat a bad team the way you're supposed to beat a bad team. This is how you're supposed to beat the Rams, the way the Raiders beat the Jets. And if this win happened that way, I mean, if the Redskins beat the Rams the way the Raiders beat the Jets, 45-20, you probably would have heard a much different opening segment to this show. But the 45-20 just reflects how bad the Jets are and reflects how good the Raiders are, which should give the Redskins no reason to relax or feel good just because of this win against the Rams. They've got to be focused this week on what it's going to take to have a sound game. I think to beat these Raiders, the Skins are going to have to play their best game and hope for a lucky bounce here and there.
Oh, it's going to have to be more than luck. They're going to have to come up with a scheme to beat a high-powered offense. And and the Raiders are playing the old-fashioned football. You pound them. If they bring the safeties up, you go over the top. And Derek Carr came into the league without a lot of fanfare. I think people knew that he was a good player, but not a superstar. He was just the next guy up for the Raiders. But then the Raiders slowly but surely started to develop. I mean, he suffered a horrible injury at the end of the season.
Just before the playoffs.
Right,
yeah.
And that poor guy, whoever was it Connor Cook? Who was the rookie quarterback who had to start in the playoffs, right? There's, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it was Connor Cook. Yeah,
I'm sure. Well, he's still on the team, so he knows, the therapy must work, right? Because that'd be a horrible experience. But the leadership that Derek Carr had shown for the Raiders and the way the defense is picking up. Now, I'm not even sure if the guys if like Perry Riley and the other the cornerback that were from the Burgundy and Gold are still even on the Raiders team. But I do know,
right.
I do know that the coach said at one point last year, yeah, let the Redskins come some more. Yeah, because there was something there about seeing talent in a guy that you know, mm-hmm. you gotta have that vision. You gotta see something in a guy and say, well, I can utilize that. If I can bring this aspect of this guy out, he could be successful on my team, and that's what the Raiders have been doing. So, yeah, it's going to be a test. It's going to be a test, and the only thing I think that's going to be able to pull this out for the Burgundy and Gold is to have one of us go up to this game and watch it up close and personal. Maybe send some messages down to the field. If we can get up there to the booth where they're calling fields and calling plays down to the field, if we can get there and maybe slip something in there, or maybe get that Federal Football Report vibe in the stadium, there's always going to be a chance, right? So I'm not going to write this game off, right? Because I said, we're going to be in there. Our presence will be there. And like Joe Gibbs used to say, we're going to take every swing of one of y'all out here to help us out with this one. This is going to be a tough one. It's going to be the best game we've experienced so far this season.
And I think you're just the person to do that, Kevin. You know, one of the keys that I think to the Redskins winning next week against the Raiders is going to be the fact that they're going to have to do a better job of protecting Kirk Cousins. Now, here's the thing that's like, yeah, you know, duh, right? So they're going to have to do a better job of protecting him, but that goes to better pass protection. But I think part of protecting Kirk Cousins is also committing to running the ball. Like, you leave him vulnerable to the pass rush, number one, when the offensive line has problems in pass protection, but number two, when the defense knows you're not going to run the ball, even if you line up and run formation, because you never run the ball. And so I think part of pass protection is actually running the ball and making sure that you keep the Raiders off balance with the run game and with play action pass, and even in situations where you could be a short, a second and a mid-range, like a second and five or a second and six, even if it's a third and four or a third and five. And then they're just not sure what you're going to do, because the nature of defense, for the most part, unless they're just going to kind of blitz you, is to react to what the offense does. And in order to make them to react to what you do, it's as if they don't know what you're going to do. So they have to react. But if they already know what you're going to do and they proactively play the pass because they know you're not going to run the ball, you leave your quarterback somewhat vulnerable. So I think protecting Kurt is going to be like paramount next week, not just making sure the guys up front block in pass situations, but making sure the coaching staff calls run plays to protect them as well.
So in other words, what they have to do is play offensive offense, right? They got to go hit somebody, right? And that's the beauty of the running game. You get a chance to hit somebody. You're not on your heels waiting for them to swat at you and bang you and so on and so forth. You get to be the aggressor. You get to inflict the punishment. And that's the beauty of the running game. And you know, we can talk about how the league has changed and how it's a passing league now and so on and so forth. I suggest that you stop playing so much Madden. It is not. It's still about the basics. It's about blocking and tackling and throwing and catching. And the guy who does it better than the other team, they're going to win the game.
Exactly. And one of the other keys, I think, is going to be, you know, as far as on offense, because there's tons of defensive keys we can do. I think if we don't have their hands full on defense. But when you look at offense, yeah, protecting Kirk, I think also is the receivers are going to have to step up at some point and show, and not just Jordan Reed, but I think that from Terrell Pryor, from Grant, you know, if Dotson can get on the field to Crowder, they're going to step up on the field and say, you know what, we're professional wide receivers. We'll catch the ball. We'll run our routes. We'll make it easier on our quarterback. We'll get separation. We'll get some yards after the catch. That you're not going to regret letting go of Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, that we can fill those roles. At some point, you have to actually do that. You have to show that you belong on this field as a professional football player at the receiver position.
Hey, you know what? It's up to them. I mean, it's so far, it's like an old episode of Seinfeld. I remember where they were in this guy's apartment, and the guy's cat ran away. And and so they said, you know, what are we going to do? He said, well, look, left the door open, put some milk out. Here on out, it's up to the cat. Right. So it's up to these cats, right? These cats gotta decide, right? And, you know, it's... psychologically speaking, you know, not wanting to get into these guys' heads, but this whole thing about Cousins and the contract last year, I think that that's taken a toll. I think that too much focus was put on this, and the other issues weren't addressed. And the issues that should have been addressed were, to me, why the receivers we had were in such a hurry to get out of here. It couldn't have been just money, you know.
Right.
And these are things that I mean, they're there. They exist. So what has to happen is they have to address this, and they have to overcome it. Now, they tried to sell us like the undercoating and the floor mats by saying, oh, these receivers we have are just as good as the ones that left. And they just said that repeatedly, almost to the point where I believe they almost start thinking that themselves. But they can't. they can't. They aren't as good. So you can't do the same thing. You don't have anybody taking the top off the defense like DeSean did. You don't have anybody who would go across the middle like Pierre did. What you have to do is find out what these guys are good at and maximize on that. That's where coaching comes in. Earn your contract extension. You know, and if I see him during the game, I'll let him know. Hey, look, you know, if I see him. Yeah, you're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to, you know, if your talent is limited, your coaching ability is going to have to come out. There's no excuse if you don't have talent if you're a coach. Mm-hmm. That's a reason. You know, show us what you got. And Jay, you're going to have to show us what you got. Show the Federal Football Report right here on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. Hit us up on Twitter. I'll give the message to Jay at FFREP. I'm Kevin Stanfield. He's Claude Jennings remotely. No, he's Claude Jennings if he's not remote. But he just happens to be remote right now. So what are you looking for in this game coming up next Sunday night?
You know what I'm looking for is for the Redskins for the Skins to look as if this is the third week of the season, right? I mean, the last week against the Eagles, you know, we talked about how sloppy of a game it was. Even against the Rams, it wasn't as much of a sloppy game as it was, I was a bit underwhelmed. And maybe it was me, like you said, drinking some of the Kool-Aid, thinking that, you know, this offense would be just as powerful as it was with Jackson and with Garcon. I'm just looking for the Redskins to seem as if this offense can put some points on the board. I'm fine with the defense. The defense is going to have to play a lot better if they're going to stop the Raiders. But what I really want to see is I want to see the offense look as if they know what's going on and that they're in total control of what they are doing, if that makes any sense to you. So that's what I'm looking for in this game. That's what I hope to see in this game. What I think we're going to see a tough fight. The Raiders are going to come in here and they're going to be ready for, you know, we talk a lot about Redskin football. They're going to be ready to play Raider football. They're going to be ready to smash mouth, to hit, to bully. They're going to try to push the Skins around. What I want to see is some fight. I want to see the team not get pushed around. I want to see the offensive line, you know, fight back. I want to see the defense fight back against Marshawn Lynch. You know, Marshawn's going to be ready to go regular beast mode like he always does. I want to see somebody push him around a little bit. I want to see some of our big guns. I want to see Kerrigan. I want to see some of these guys bully him a little bit. Yeah. So that's what I'm hoping to see.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want to see these boys from Alabama play. You know, hey, we wasted some picks on them. Let them loose. You know, feed them some raw meat during the week. Let them loose, right? We need to see that. We need to see we're a little bit too nice out there. Yeah, I don't mean like being a dirty player. We don't need that.
Right.
I mean,
right. We don't need dirty.
We need football. You know, we need some leadership. We need.
I ain't got the
That's what we need. That's what we need. Hey, real quick before we go, I got to mention, you know, we talked last week about the Josh Norman phone, the commercial where he was in the press conference and they were asking him about Dez and say, mm-hmm. do you believe that Dez is slow as a snail? No, I didn't say that. He said, Josh, you just literally tweeted it. And we said, you know what? And these guys were smart. They'd get together and have Dez do one.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting at the game. I'm sitting here watching TV. I look. All of a sudden, I see Dez on the commercial. Dez, did you say that the Josh Norman is slower than you? Dez said, I'd never say that. All of a sudden, Dez, you literally just tweeted a picture of a snail with Josh Norman's head on it. You know? So I'm not saying that we invented that. I'm sure that concept was somewhere in the air. But I just found it very coincidental that the very commercial that we talked about, we looked on the air, and there it is. You know, I'm just saying.
Now, during the game, I did receive a text message from you asking if I saw it. Now, somehow I missed it. Now, again, we were in an establishment watching these games where a lot of things are going on. And so it's possible that I was distracted by something and I missed that commercial.
Well, look, we're not going to claim that we have that much influence here on the Federal Football Report, but
I wasn't surprised.
It's there. What can I say? Hey, look, it's been another great show, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, we might do the show live next week. That might be a challenge, right? We got to look at the schedule because, you know, the Nats playoff is coming up and we got to share a little airtime with the Nats. We were here first. Or were they? I'm not sure. But, if we do it live, we're going to need some participation out there. So I'll tell you what, hit us up at FF Rep. That's at FF Rep and talk to us. Or you can come on the show and tell us your outlook on it because, see, we'll talk to you. Other people won't talk to you or they'll hang up on you if you don't agree with them. But let us know what you feel. Because this is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Hit us up at FF Rep. See you next week.